The ice rink on Fountain Square has been a holiday favorite for years, but this winter, it's moving to a new location. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about this winter's downtown festivities and Fountain Square as a gathering place are 3CDC Executive Vice President of Civic and Commercial Space Activation, Christy Samad, and Cincinnati historian Greg Hand. Thank you for being here, Christy and Greg.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's so much fun to have you here. So, Christy, the ice rink is moving off Fountain Square. I think people are trained to go there to skate. So where's it going?
So good news, it's just a block and a half away. So you can still come to Fountain Square and have a simple walk to Elm Street Plaza. And so this is the downtown's newest civic space right outside of the convention center.
So right across from the convention center, does that spot have more room for a bigger ice rink?
It does. So this civic space is about 2.5 acres. And it's, you know, over the years, we've just retrofitted the ice rink to like kind of be squished into Fountain Square. And so it was really hard to figure out how to have a better patron experience. And so this has given us the opportunity to think of that beforehand and really engage in the patron experience.
So it's this in Cincinnati, this time of year, you never know how cold it's going to be. You never know how weirdly warm it can get.
Yeah, like this week.
Yes.
Right? Snowing to 70.
It can change, yeah, during the week. Is it at all challenging to keep the ice ring frozen?
You know, we do a pretty good job of our ice chiller definitely works. And so it gets a little sloppy at 70, but you can still skate. So we're prepared.
Yeah. And you don't have to be as bundled up if you're skating when it's 70.
But I'll tell you, you know, the snow on Monday helped make the ice.
Oh, okay.
We have ice.
Thanks, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So, Christy, what holiday attractions will be on Fountain Square instead of the ice rink?
Yeah. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, it wasn't necessarily a move of the ice rink, but it's an expansion of the Fountain District and all of the holiday events. And so right now, downtown has a lot of exciting things with the convention center. And how do you connect that to, you know, the center of the city, Fountain Square? And so we are debuting Winter House, which it's about a 65 by 65 tent that will have a bar, seating. It'll have operating hours 7 days a week. So you can come, you know, during the summer, Fountain Square becomes a place people eat their lunch. They have meetings out there. It's a gathering space. In the winter, if you weren't ice skating, you were freezing and you weren't necessarily enjoying the space. And so we're hoping that Winter House allows everyone to do that.
So, Greg, how long has Fountain Square been such an important gathering space for the city?
We don't really know, because Fountain Square was built on what was a Paleo-Indian gathering place.
Wow.
So the very earliest maps of Cincinnati, 1802, 1815, show these earthworks that covered the downtown area. And one of the largest was built around what is now Fountain Square. After the city was populated by European settlers, Fountain Square was one of the many local markets that the city had. It was the Fifth Street Market, which by the 1870s was almost exclusively a butcher's market. And it was the scene of the notorious Christmas meat parade, when all of the butchers
keep
in
that
the
in
Fifth
your back
Street
pocket.
Market.
If you're looking for more downtown holiday activity,
kind of
a meat parade. Yeah, there we go.
Would get all of the animals they were going to butcher for Christmas meals and bring them to the Fifth Street Market in a parade led by military battalions and all the local hunters, hundreds of animals. And so all of that got washed away in a midnight raid in 1870, when the city decided to get rid of the very stinky Fifth Street Market. And in October of 1871, what we now know as Fountain Square was originally dedicated. So it has a long history before that fountain ever occupied that space.
Yeah, I'm just so glad to learn about the meat parade. So, Greg, originally the fountain, as I understand it, was designed in part to encourage people not to go into the saloons nearby.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely. If you were downtown for whatever reason and thirst came upon you, pretty much the only place you could get a glass of water was in a saloon. And so Henry Probasco in designing this fountain was very insistent on it providing clean drinking water so that people downtown did not have to go into these dens of iniquity to refresh their thirst.
And it had cups everybody shared too, right?
Exactly, exactly. Each one of the four fountains on the quarters of the thing had a cup chained to the fountain, and you would drink out of that cup along with your 100 of your closest friends.
But now you can still drink that water just with your own cup.
Yes.
See, it all kind of grosses me out. Greg, have you ever taken a drink of water from the fountain?
Oh, absolutely.
I have as well.
Really?
Yes.
And you lived to tell the tale, both of you.
Oh, absolutely. It is part of the requirements Henry Probasco laid upon the city in donating that fountain, that it had to, in perpetuity, provide clean drinking water. And it is absolutely clean drinking water, tested regularly, I believe, and exactly as clean as anything in your house.
Okay. Okay. Well, we are talking about winter festivities in downtown Cincinnati and the history of Fountain Square. Do you have questions or comments or maybe Fountain Square memories you'd like to share with us? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Okay, Greg, you told us about the meat parade, which rocked my world. I understand there were Christmas pantomimes on the square in the 1890s. Can you tell us anything about those?
There's a wonderful painting in the Cincinnati Art Museum of the audience for these things. The north side of the fountain was Mabley and Crewe department store. And they used to have these pantomimes on one of the balconies up there. And children would gather on the square and just plop themselves down to watch the little show go on at the Mabley and Crewe store there. And when you this painting is so marvelous because it's not the pantomime that you see, it's the audience, and you can tell these children are just absolutely entranced by the magic of what is going on in those days before television and before children were even allowed in theaters. So this was their introduction to storytelling and to media.
Now, Christy, am I remembering correctly that something special is going to be happening with the fountain itself for the holidays this year?
Yeah. Thanks to CVG, actually, we are bringing the lights back to the fountain. And so what you would have seen in the 80s and prior to that, the city did put lights to, you know, look like the water was still flowing from the hands. And so we're bringing that back this year, and we're really excited. And it will have some interactive, it has different shows every 15 minutes. And so it will be interactive lighting. So we're really excited to debut that and complement the Winter House.
Oh, and CBG, you mean the airport?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, Greg, we've talked a lot about Fountain Square, but wasn't there an effort to build another grand public square near where the fountain currently sits? Can you tell us about that and what might have been in the city?
Yeah, David Sinton was one of the wealthiest people in Cincinnati at the time that he made this proposal. It was relatively soon after the square was built. He owned what we now know as the Taft Museum. So he was, I believe, the third owner of that. And he told the city that he would build this rostrum on the east end of the square. It was a rather huge thing, basically an ornate lectern from which people could give speeches to crowds assembled on the square, topped by a 45-foot-tall statue of Cincinnatus, a dream that was never realized until the city celebrated its bicentennial in 1888 and got that statue down in Sawyer Point Park. But so he had all the money set. He had the drawings made. They were published in the newspapers, this grand civic exercise to bring people for intellectual discourse to Fountain Square. And the transit companies, the streetcar companies, would have had to move a number of their tracks. And they essentially told the city, sure, build the rostrum. as long as it doesn't cost us anything. And David said, I'm going to build the rostrum. I'm not going to pay the transit companies. Deal's off. But it was a marvelous thing that would have created quite a huge assemblage of sculpture and marble down at the east end of what was then the Esplanade. Oh,
interesting. So Fountain Square is often called the living room of the city. This would have been the den, maybe, or the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Christy, so many of us who grew up around here remember the holiday tradition of the Shillitoe Elves.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I don't know if you can explain to any listeners who have the misfortune of not being familiar with the elves kind of what they are and then whether those will be part of the festivities this year.
And so, again, when we think of how to connect, Fountain Square with Elm Street Plaza and everything in between, Fifth Street is that artery, right? And so we have so many awesome restaurants that have been there and are now opening this month and next month. And so part of that, the Crew Tower has some vacant space that we approach them, and the Shillitoe Elves will be displayed in those windows, which, again, such a part of Cincinnati history. And the Shillitoe Elves, there's several different scenes. And actually, I think that when they used to be at Shillitoe, there's a large display, and they have been kind of piecemealed across the city. And so we have about three of those scenes that will be displayed, and they are... And not animated, but electronic elves.
Yeah, animatronics.
Yeah, animatronics.
Sort of thing.
Thank you. They are great and beloved, kind of creepy, but so cool to see. It's such a great part of history.
Yeah, my younger daughter definitely focuses on the creepy when we see them. Greg, what do you think is our fascination with these Shillitoe Elves? Do you have thoughts on that?
By coincidence, I happened to be working on a blog post on the good old days. When were the good old days? And what I'm finding out, looking through the history of Cincinnati and how people perceived what was the good old days, it really goes back to what was going on in their childhood. And the Shillitoe Elves had a couple generations of Cincinnatians who would go to the Shillitoe's department store. But they would go do all their shopping essentially at department stores downtown. So Rollman's and Alms and Depke and the Ferris store and all these stores that no longer exist. And so each of them had to have some sort of gimmick, like the pantomimes at Maybelline Carew, to bring shoppers into their stores. And Shillitoe's was these elves. And because of the connection with a couple generations of childhood, Cincinnati just adopted them as part of the city. This is what it meant to have the holidays in our city.
Yeah. I will say that my husband builds furniture, and he says that Santa's workshop shows some very unsafe sawing. So if you walk past the elves and you see them handling saws, do not imitate that in real life, according to my husband. So, Greg, I want to talk some more about these butchers. This was a very controversial move. You mentioned the meat parades and how it was kind of a stinky mess there before the city just got rid of the market. It's where these butchers did their thing. Can you talk a little bit more about that controversy and what happened there?
So we're talking about the original days of Fountain Square, when Fountain Square was on a long platform they called the Esplanade, right in the middle of Fifth Street. And it was created out of several parcels of land. The original donation from Henry Probasco was what was basically the east end, the middle of the block out to Walnut Street. The part from the middle of the block to Vine Street was actually seven parcels of land that were occupied by butchers' stalls. And they were on land that had been given to the city to be used as a market. And it was a codicil in their deeds that they could only be used as a market. And so when the plans for the fountain came up, the butchers essentially went to the Supreme Court of the state of Ohio and said, they can't do this. They cannot build a fountain because this must be a market. And Supreme Court of Ohio said essentially, as long as they sell something there, they can do whatever they want because it's still a market. And so word came down from Columbus. Within hours, the city had 150 workmen and 50 policemen guarding as they demolished the Fifth Street market. It took 6 or 7 hours. Some of the butchers were still there cleaning up from the day's sales, and it just went down in hours. But for the – this was in 1870, but for the, probably the previous decade, in a city with no health inspectors, with no sewage, this was just a stinky, fly-infested sore in the middle of downtown Cincinnati and the only place you could buy meat for your table.
Yeah, but the city did have something they could sell, right, to keep that.
And so for many, many years, the city had a ceremony where the mayor came out and bought a flower for a penny once a year, and that meant that it was still a market. And the fountain could stay.
From the flower cart. How long was that flower cart around?
Flower cart came in a little after the tradition started, but probably it was there for maybe 80 years.
Christy, any chance you're bringing back the flower cart?
You know, we did bring it to Court Street Plaza. It was displayed for 2 years and is back in the city's facilities. But I'm sure at some point it will make a debut.
Okay. Well, maybe no flowers, but there's going to be a big old tree on Fountain Square. What's happening there. When is the tree lighting ceremony?
Duke Energy. It is arriving this Saturday morning. And so that coincides with the opening of Winter House. So you can come and we're doing a little tree trimming party. It arrives and we'll start decorating it. Just note, it takes a minute to decorate. So if you come down and it's halfway not down, it is not a COVID tree. It is, we are just sprucing it up. And that will be lit on November 28th for the square.
Yeah. How hard is it to find the kind of the size tree you want for a big space like Fountain Square?
It is a search that happens, you know, it'll start in the first quarter of next year. And we have a lot of eyeballs out there, and we actually got it from a tree farm this year.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. Did everybody at 3CDC go chop it down, drag it through the woods?
Yeah. So a team building event. Exactly.
So what are you mentioned Winter House, the tree lighting. Are there lots of other events happening this weekend? This is kind of the big kickoff, right?
Yeah. So this with the Winter House opening this weekend, and then we'll debut the CVG lights on the fountain to do that little show. And then next Friday is the ribbon cutting for Elm Street Plaza and the ice rink. And so everyone can come down and see the brand new rink. Along with that, we've got igloos, we've got fire pits, we have pergolas. There's a new pavilion bar. And so with that, the start of the rink will bring back, you know, our favorite events, whether it's the skate lessons, college skate, et cetera. And then light up Duke's Energy Light Up the Square happens the following Friday. And then that Saturday, we've got YMCA's Downtown Dazzle. And that's when Santa rappels off of the 580 building. And so a lot of these things are happening on Fountain Square. But again, with it just being a short block and a half to the rink, it's how do you expand your experience and then enjoy all of the different businesses that are downtown.
Yeah. And how long through the season does the ice rink stay open?
It'll be until President's Day, so February 16th.
Okay. Do y'all still do broom ball on the rink?
You know, we don't. And this year, the layout of the rink is a little different. We'll have some trees in the middle, and so it'll really feel like you're, skating around in a little pond.
Oh, that sounds fancy.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, you were talking about this blog you're working on about the good old days. What, if any, holiday traditions would you like to see come back that have gone? I mean.
Oh, I'd love to hear this.
Yes. This is your chance to influence 3CDC and Christy for the future.
Definitely oysters. I really like oysters, and they do not play the role that they used to in the history of this city. The holidays, especially months ending in R, it used to be that that's when you ate the oysters. Cincinnati went through so many oysters that we have several roads around here that their original name was Oyster Road, because people would send to the restaurants downtown and haul wagon loads of oyster shells out to Westwood and Hyde Park and different places and pave their roads with the oyster shells.
Where did these oysters come from? Not the Ohio River.
No, they were all shipped in from Baltimore. And in fact, again, we ate so many oysters that it was one of the factors that led to the first railroads coming to Cincinnati so that we could get fresh oysters out of Baltimore. And they show up in all of the holiday meal menus.
I had no idea oysters were a Cincinnati tradition. When did that stop?
Basically, they farmed out Chesapeake Bay, and so the volume just wasn't there anymore, and they got very expensive because they were a lot rarer, and so we moved on to other things to stuff our turkey with.
Oh, yeah. Oyster stuffing.
Okay.
Makes sense now.
Yeah. Okay.
We used to have Oyster Fest on Fountain Square. We'll need to bring it back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Oyster Fest. Wow. We're learning so much about the meat and the oysters and all the things. Any other plugs? Do you have a favorite elf, Shillitoe's elf, Greg?
No, but it's part of the family tradition because my father-in-law was a 65-year union carpenter for Shillitoe's, and part of his duties was building the area where they installed the Shillitoe elves every year, and then he would have to disassemble that every year. And so it was not just, as far as we were concerned, a city tradition. It was a family tradition as well.
Well, that's great. Well, I have been talking with 3CDC Executive Vice President of Civic and Commercial Space Activation, Christy Samad, and Cincinnati historian Greg Hand. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. And if you miss our program live, you can find Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.